Hold up your Bible. I want to see all the Bibles, and I'm going to look real, real closely to who does not have their Bible, Ed. Ed's pointing at, well, Morris took mine or what? And then Morris is like, what'd he say? I can't hear. We call that the old geezer club. Y'all that are new, you know, when you get older, you sit back there. Oh, they're a blessing to me, though. Oh, in this section, hold up your Bible. Let me just double check, make sure. Are you looking on with her or something? You'll learn. Hold up your Bible in this section. Let me see it. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Where's in the back? Jamie, Dalton does not have a Bible and he lives at our house. You would think living with a preacher you'd carry a Bible. Does he have a phone? He don't even have his phone up. He's holding Jet's Bible up. Let me see your Bible in this section. I got everybody scared. I'm like, give me a Bible, man. The reason I want you to hold your Bible up is because it's imperative that you understand that that Bible is your sword. It's your protection. It's your manual. It's everything to a believer. And if you're not a believer, you need to be today. Amen? Now, the reason I don't have it up on the screen reason I don't have it on the screen. Can y'all still see that with me facing this way? Not if I do this. London, my daughter, is graduating next week. Or no, 2 weeks, right? And she is an esthetician. So, this weekend, while we were watching her run barrels in Fort Worth at the Patriot, we went back to her house and then celebrated. My mom had her birthday a couple of days ago, 79. So we celebrated her birthday, and that's where she's at with the other brothers in Stephenville area. And London got me in a chair, and she started saying, Dad, I'm going to help you make your hair grow. So I'm going to have long hippie hair. I'll cut it. But anyway, we'll see if it works. It does? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Lord. I want to fire you up this morning. One thing that you'll have to understand about me, even though I still travel and I still rope professionally in the steer roping now, kind of transitioned over from team roping, been lots of rodeos and being successful as a minister in the roping area, and thank God for that. But one day I decided that I was going to steer rope. And steer roping, if you don't understand that event, is the first event in rodeo with saddle bronc riding. Those two events are the only events in professional rodeo that is grandfathered in. They cannot be taken out. But rodeos do not have to have steer roping. And steer roping being one of the first events came from the ranch, obviously. And you had to doctor a animal out there in the field, a cow, a bull, or something. Then you had to figure out how to lay it down, tie it, give it a shot. There was no corrals out there in the pasture. And so obviously it became an event. And so I travel. I do a lot of that because I feel like it's an open door to minister to the steer ropers. Most of them are ranchers and business owners because that's an event. It takes quite a bit of money to do. And so I travel with them. And traveling with those guys, man, is a major blessing. And I still do the college national finals. I put up a tent. Matter of fact, I work, man. I'm the gate man during all the slacks and rodeo performances. But it causes me to let them know that I'm one of them. And I'm not, you know, just somebody wanting to preach at them. And so when I'm gone, then things continue. But with that said, most everybody knows that I pastor as an evangelist. Some people pastor as a teacher, and they teach the Word of God. But now, I believe that I can also be very apostolic, which means that I start a lot of works, and then I can operate in a prophetic way, a lot of times. But I wouldn't call myself a prophet. I just can operate prophetically, and God can give me a message for an individual, and that's what a prophet is. I can slow down and teach. But primarily, my gifting is an evangelist, and I want to fire you up this morning because it's time that you understand that being a believer in Jesus, Him being the Lord of your life, we have something to do in ministry. All of us, not just a few of us. Matter of fact, you've got to understand that in Matthew chapter 20, and don't turn there because I'm going to have you turn to 2 Timothy first. But in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus says this. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve. Well, a lot of times, and I've joked about it, about being fat sheep, and the danger of being a fat sheep, and I help you understand being raised on a ranch and in the Sheffield, Ira Ann, Fort Stockton, all McCamey, all of that area, there's rim rocks that are high, and man, it's rough country, but that's where they grow Angora goats, a lot of wool sheep, etc. And then the fatter they get, they get, hung up in a mesquite tree and they can't get out. Because, a sheep being that big just has a hard time getting away from something that's strangled them. And so, as one of the cowboys, we would have to get off our horse and get that sheep free. And usually by then, it hadn't had any water. So we would have to figure out how to get it up on our horse, get down to the pens. And spiritually speaking, though, that's what a lot of Christians do. They just come to church, receive, 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 and then never give out. They don't understand that, and I want you to turn here. Go to Ephesians first, and then we'll go to Timothy chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, because really what we're going to be talking about today is being an evangelist. Now, with that said, let's clarify a few things and understand Ephesians chapter 4. And I like verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, this is when he was crucified, talking about Jesus, and then raised from the dead. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended to the belly, or to the lower parts of the earth, the belly of the earth in the King James. Meaning hell. He went to hell so that we don't have to go there. Say amen to that. Amen. And then verse 10 says, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And then verse 11 is where I want to help you understand that he himself gave some. Look at me. Some. And then he explains it. To be an apostle. That's one. Some prophets. That's two. Some evangelists. That's three. Some pastors. That's four. And teachers. Five. We call that the fivefold ministry. Now look at verse 12 though. Because The reason that I want you to get fired up about being an evangelist is because we're not supposed to be Christians just receiving. And it's not supposed to be just the sum of these five. Some of us that are called to stand behind this podium and preach the gospel, we can't do everything. But my job is to teach you, look at the next verse, 12. Are y'all there? Ephesians 4 and 12. For the equipping, now I know this is basic and I've taught this a lot. So just understand we're going somewhere. The job of the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, or the teacher of the word of God is for the equipping of the saints. Look at me. If you're born again and Jesus is Lord of your life, you are a saint. But don't stop there. Because then you need to understand that not only are you a saint, but you're also a servant. Remember, Jesus again said in Matthew that he didn't come to be served. He actually came to serve. But yet, all of us serve him. We serve Jesus. And we want to be an imitator of Jesus, right? Okay, now look at this. So the job of the sum, fivefold ministers, are for the equipping of people that are born again, saints, sons, servants, daughters of the Most High God. And if you understand that, then all of us have something to do in the ministry. It doesn't matter how much Bible you know. You have something to do in the kingdom of God. Of course, that's why you're coming to church. It's because hopefully you're learning how to know who you are in Christ Jesus and then to gain knowledge. Matter of fact, it says it right here. Look at, again, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for what? Y'all go ahead and read it out loud. For what? Of what? Works of the ministry. Not just works. Because we don't get in heaven because of just works. Understand that. There are some people that believe just being a good old guy or a good old gal is how you enter heaven. And you make it that way. Your mama. No, the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. Amen. Okay. Now, so for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So that's telling us that me as a pastor, very evangelistic, needs to perfect you in the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, think about that. So your job, and I'm supposed to teach you this, is to edify the body. We're the body. Believers are the body of Christ because Christ is Lord, right? So my job is to perfect you to do the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is a lot. Lay hands on the sick in Mark 16 and they'll recover. Do you realize that's just not talking to the fivefold ministers? It's talking about the work of the ministry. So if I teach you when you're at the bank and someone comes in defeated, how many of you know that's an open door? For the work of the ministry. Because then, if it was me, and I was at the bank, and someone came in defeated, then more than likely, behind closed doors, I would say, hey, you're a winner, not a loser. You're a believer. Well, wait a minute. Do you know Jesus? I mean, now you got to be probably high up in the bank so you don't get fired for preaching to people. The point is we've got to understand that everything is ministry. Open doors. When you're at the gas station and the car over, all you got to do is say, how you doing? And there's probably going to be an open door. Because some people will tell you how they're doing. Right? There was times when I would say, hey, how's it going? How's it going? Well, I just lost my job. I don't know about you, but that's an open door for me. Because that means they need some hope. They need someone saying, I don't care if you don't know all the Bible. All you got to do is say, I tell you what, I'm going to pray for you. One thing, I'm going to pray for you. See, this is doing the work of the ministry, y'all. And that's what I want to get everybody in here to understand, that I don't care if you were born again yesterday or you've been saved for a long period of time. This just came to my mind when I looked at Dalton. I can tell on him because he can handle it. He did this podcast. Very good. They wanted to introduce him and they talked about Steer Open. They knew he made the timed event and he did really good in the timed event. They knew he's made the national finals in the Steer Open and, you know, well, he's doing this podcast and me and Jamie are headed to Stephenville area and we're listening to his podcast. At the end of it, we somehow communicate with him. How was it? Jamie wrote him a little note. Fantastic interview. But when he called me or when I talked to him, I thought it was great as well. But I said, you missed two things. Number one, being a believer in Jesus, you want to give God the glory for everything. Number two is you want to always point people to the one that gave you the ability and the one that gave you the wisdom and the competitiveness and the drive and the gifting to do what you do. Always point them to Jesus. Because she happened to ask a question. And this was what Dalton talk radio... What's the name of it? Talk Rodeo. Okay. Well, she asked, what advice would you give to little kids? Well, he said the right things of as far as don't give up. But me? And he lives at the preacher's house. I want everything towards Jesus. He is the reason, man. He's the reason that boy is so talented. He's the reason you bull riders are so talented. He's the reason you moms and dads are so gifted. And everything needs to be turned to Jesus. Right. Okay. So with that said, when it says the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, Ephesians chapter 4, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. So I'm supposed to teach you the knowledge of the Son of God, because if you've got knowledge in what Jesus did, then you'll be able to lift someone's spirits up when they're down. Now, I understand that the people that are down might be you, but I'm telling you, the only hope is found in Jesus. The only hope. So we've got to start getting fired up that we're coming to church to get more knowledge and revelation, praise God. We're coming to church to get healed by the power of God, by the stripes of Jesus. We're coming here to get restored, praise God, and I understand that. But then there's other people out there that are not here, and they need us, and they need you, my brother, because every single one of us have influence, even if it's one person. We've got influence. And when we point people to Jesus, what if you get persecuted? What if they think you're holier than thou? The way you live, I'm telling you, remember that scripture that says your righteousness. When you're born again, you're made righteous. Even if you don't do righteous things, you are made righteous. The Bible says that your righteousness goes before you, and then the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. When the enemy is attacking, you just living right as a believer in Jesus Christ. I didn't say you didn't make mistakes. Thank God for grace, mercy, forgiveness. But when you do what's right, then the glory of the Lord is what protects you. Because where does the enemy try to defeat you? In the secret place, behind you. He's sneaky, trying to roam, and devour you like a roaming lion. So the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, the glory of God protects you in the rear. As long as you understand what you see before you, you're not supposed to look to the behind. You're supposed to press forward to the mark of the high calling. So when we press forward, then we're doing things right. Have lots of opportunities to do wrong, right? I mean, we can do testimony time if we want. Of how did you mess up in your life before, you know. And all of us would have stories, well, I had a decision. They were talking about my cat, and I didn't like it because I love my cat. You know. So I had to make a decision either to forgive them or hit them upside the head. And howdy, I chose. Now, this is just this is not real, okay? But I chose to slap them. You know. Well, how many people actually do that? We're not talking about intentionally going out to do wrong. Man, we just want to be who we are in Christ Jesus. And so this is what this is talking about. We need knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer children tossed to and fro. We got to grow up. And in order to grow up, then we always promote Jesus. I'm just saying, it's time that all of us, especially in these days, that we do the work of an evangelist. Amen. Would you agree with that? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right. Now, let's look at 2 Timothy. Let's all go to 2 Timothy from Ephesians. Let's go and flip to your right and go to 2 Timothy and go to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Now, look at verse 1. Again, what are we talking about this morning? Do the work of an evangelist. Let's start telling people about the Savior, the one that's in your life, the one that's in that we call the temple is in there. I mean, he's right here, praise God. Let's start telling people about the only true hope. Man, every time I look at some news, wow, it seems rougher and rougher and rougher. And we're able to see everything right now. So we're going to need some hope. And people are going to need some hope. And it's going to have to be you that does it. Say amen to that. Now look at verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word. Say amen to that. I think we get hung up on preaching our opinion. This is what I went through. No, 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 no. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned into fables. But be watchful, verse 5 says, in all things. Endure afflictions. Here's where it is, ready? Do the work of an evangelist. In other words, we got to continue to preach the truth, right? There's a lot of untruth out there. But we live by the truth of the Word of God. That's why when you find a good Bible-believing church, plug into it. Don't be church hoppers. Find one, even if it's not this one, find one that preaches the word of truth. Preach the word, see. do the work of an evangelist. Now, let's look at a few examples real fast. Flip over to the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And go to chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. You there? I'm waiting. Luke, chapter 5. Verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake, and he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put it out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Now look at this, verse 4. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and lay down your nets for a catch. But look at what Simon did here. Verse 5. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now, they had an opportunity right here, right? Because they had already been out there. They had already seen that the fish were not biting. Thank God he came to himself and said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Everybody probably understands what's fixing to happen, right? And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Now remember, they had just said that they had stayed up all night and didn't catch anything. They are not biting, Lord. But Jesus said, no, let me help you a little bit. Verse 7, it says, they signaled to the other partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats. Now think about this for a second. When you're doing things in the kingdom of God, under the anointing of Jesus Christ, the anointed one, when you are, fixated on Jesus, then everybody around you gets blessed. It didn't just fill their boat, it filled their partner's boat, and they began to sink because there was so many fish in these boats. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down to Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Listen to me. This is what the enemy always tries to do to a believer. When the blessing of God is trying to come upon you, you always start going, oh God, I'm not worthy. Because the enemy is trying to trick you to being not worthy to receive the blessing of God. You didn't pray enough. You didn't spend enough time in the Bible. You wasn't good enough. You did too much sinful things. I always think that that's an interesting thing. How they turned immediately to sin. But I liked it because they started to repent. But look at verse 9. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Verse 10 says, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, listen to this, y'all. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Now real fast, flip back over to the Matthew 4 and I'll close. Matthew chapter 4. And look at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. This is Matthew's account. Then he said to them, follow me, I will make you fisher of men. The whole point here this morning is it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about my accomplishments, my buckle. You see my buckle? One at Ellensburg. It's not about the dumb buckle. We cover it up. It's about Jesus. Because if it comes about us and our goals and our dreams and our visions without Jesus, then that's when people perish. I'm telling you, if you'll do the work of an evangelist and you're wanting the blessing of God, why don't you follow Jesus? Because He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the knowledge. That's what my job is, trying to get you knowledge of Jesus. He'll be the encourager. Hey, get up, get up. You know, hey, I know that you've been down with this knee, but Jesus is saying, hey, be healed in Jesus' name. Restore this body in the name of Jesus. I mean, all God's saying is, hey, we need to do the work of an evangelist. You know what an evangelist does? Woo, girl, come on, you got this. You got this. You are someone in Christ Jesus. You go, girl. Ha, ho, ha, hey, hey. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. She kind of got scared there. Man, I'm just saying, it's all about Jesus. Not steer open. Not being a good father. I want to be. Not being the greatest husband that Jamie has ever could ever have in her whole entire life. Come on, girl. Because I want to be. I do a good job, don't I? I go get her, depending on the weather. If it's hot, I get her a cold iced chai with coconut milk and the works. And guess what? I do it every morning. Now, that's because I go and get me a burrito. Know what I mean? Well, it's not because of that, but I would get her the chai first. You know why?
The burrito stays high.
I'm a smart man. He said something about a burrito staying hot. I don't know. No, I want to be that, but not without Jesus. I'm trying to teach all young people, listen, do things right. If you're living together, get married. It's way better, way better. I'm telling you, just get married. Do it right. You know why? Because there's a blessing in righteousness. Yes. Now, you know, yeah, I know all the excuses, but listen, there's got to be some boldness up here, right? Because if we're going to do things like Jesus and we're going to follow Him and we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then let's do things right. And let's not help me, Lord. Don't let me get in trouble here. Let's not confuse our younger generation that it's normalized to do things out of order. Let's just say it that way. Because it's easy to do things out of order. But not when you're following Jesus. It makes you know, I want to start talking about marriage. I want to start doing it right. And I'm talking about preachers and no preachers. All of us. Let's do it right. I'm telling you, if you're ever around me and you ask Cole or Danny, anybody that hangs out with me, ask Dalton. I'm the same at home as I am right here. I don't change. I don't take off the pastor, you know, coat. I'm the same. I might mess up here just like there. I don't want to be different. And I don't want people to treat me different. If you cuss, I appreciate the respect of not cussing around me. I just don't cuss. But I'm not your judge. I want people coming to me. I'm not going to beat you up. I just never have cussed. My dad said crap one time and I had to go hide the belts. Because that was a cuss word for my dad. If he said that, you're in trouble. Jesus said, hey, deny everything, follow me. So today, I want to encourage you. Let's be an evangelist. Not behind the podium, like in an organized service like this one, but every one of you has to do the work of the ministry. And if we'll do that, then Jesus will come back a whole lot quicker. I mean, no matter if it's, and they may know your past. It doesn't matter. Do they know the one that lives on the inside of you? Amen. Because see, all of us are called to be an evangelist. And all that means is just telling people about your Jesus. And if you'll do that, watch doors flood open. I mean, you'll be so excited when you call me and say, "Hey, I led my first person to Jesus." Because see, that's why I have you pray the prayer, even believers. And you guys, you new people, I'll have everybody pray a salvation prayer. Not to get saved again, but to learn the prayer. But then you'll be praying it with people around you that has never given their hearts to Jesus. But we pray this prayer over and over, don't we, y'all? Lord, I open the door of my heart. I say the same thing. You know why? Because that's how Glenn Smith taught me. Led by the Spirit of God. So I say it over and over, and hundreds of people get saved. Everywhere we go. Even at this church. Why? Because I want to do the work of an evangelist. I want to know how to live in God's kingdom. But it starts through Jesus. Amen? So today, let's get fired up. Let's get fired up. If you're going through a tough time, head to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. No matter what you're going through, it does not matter. If it's a valley, a trial, or a tribulation, get on through it by staying hooked to Jesus. Amen? Remain in joy. We talked about that for a month. Count it all joy. Don't you lose joy because you lose strength. But guess what? Guess who gives you the greatest joy, everlasting joy? Jesus. Not Pastor Corey. I'm going to give you the knowledge of it, but I want you to receive the engrafted Word of God, which is able to change and save your soul. And your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. So with everybody looking at me, are you born again? Are you saved? When you leave this earth, are you going to heaven? Have you thought about it? All that are watching, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Because, I mean, that's John 14. He's the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven through Jesus. Not being a good person, that's a good thing to be. We don't want to be mean. We want to walk in love. But you can't get to heaven except through Jesus. Amen. All through the Word of God points to Jesus. Amen. You lack wisdom? Who do you go to? You're an accountant? Oh, I do go to my accountant, though, because she's got some wisdom. But not first. I need to kind of go to God first, right? He's the one that taught her. When I'm sick, who do I go to? I want to go to the great physician first. And then he might say, "Hey, get to the doctor." Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. We've got to do the work of an evangelist. Are you born again? Are you saved? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you stood before God, the Bible calls this the great judgment day. If you stand before God one day, what's He going to say? You mean tell you what the Bible says? He'll say one of two things. If Jesus is Lord, my life, I gave my heart to Jesus May the 10th, 1979. My name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I stand before God, I'm down here standing before the Lord. God's going to say, and remember, Jesus is going to be right here at His right hand. He's going to have this book. Father, Jesus. I came into Corey's life May the 10th, Otis Baptist Church in Otis, New Mexico. He's a good old guy. Bring him on in. And I'm going to go, yeah, Jesus. I don't know if I probably won't do that, but anyway. I want to go to heaven, in other words. You know what God's going to say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, and I mean it. That's going to be the glorious thing. He's going to say, enter into heaven. The joy, the rest of the Lord. See, this is Bible. It's not some man's opinion. But listen to this. The second thing that he has to say, depending on you. If you say, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff. I don't believe in this God stuff. And I don't believe in any of it. I think when you die, you die. Okay? You have that right because God gave you a will. You can say yes to Him. You can say no to Him. If you say no to Him, according to the Bible, God has to say, because the Bible says, remember, He's not a man that He can lie. He has to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. That's why there's the place called hell. Not for all of us. It was for Satan and his demons that got kicked out of heaven. But then, y'all know the story, Adam and Eve sinned. Sin nature came. But God took care of that. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus. But He said, hey, you want to have everlasting life? Believe on Him, Jesus. Believe on Jesus. You'll have everlasting. So you got to ask Jesus. So if you choose not to make Jesus your Lord, God's going to have to say depart. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's anyone at the sound of my voice that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you. I can't make you. I'm going to ask you out of your mouth to pray a prayer with me. We're going to pray Romans 10:9 that says, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So if you're here this morning or you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to pray this prayer. All you believers, I've already set it up. You know that I want you to pray this prayer as well. You'll pray it with someone around you, possibly, praying it with them for the first time. They may have never prayed this prayer, but they're going to. But you're going to learn this prayer, so learn it. Listen to every word of it, because this is how you lead people to Jesus that won't come to this church. This is the work of the ministry. So if you're here again this morning, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you left this earth, then make Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord of your life right now by praying this prayer. And when you pray it out loud where your ears can hear it, okay? You're confessing with your mouth Jesus. So pray this prayer. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. I make you my Lord. I believe that you've been raised from the dead. And today I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm your friend. And you're mine. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Now every head bowed and every eye closed before we say amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, and you gave your heart to Jesus, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. Everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed except me and some ushers that have a Bible. Because I want to give you a Bible. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, but you did it just now, and you confessed that prayer and you meant it, then when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up. You're saying, God, I prayed that prayer. And then just put your hand down. That's all I want you to do. But see, I want you to do it with boldness. Because we're not ashamed of Jesus being our Lord. So if you just prayed that prayer, get that hand up when I say three. And I want you to do it with boldness. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Just get it up. Put it right back down. Glory. Look at me, everybody. Not one hand was raised. I understand that. That's probably why the Lord gave me this message. So we got to start being about other people. It's good to be about us, but there's very seldom do we not have at least one hand. But sometimes it just happens. But not when we're an evangelist. You might lead them to Jesus out there, and then they just start coming to church. That's fine with me. I like it. But if you need a little help, you got to get them here. I think you ought to be promoting your own church anyway if you love it. Amen. Say amen louder, I hope. Come on.